Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
We'll get to Nick Caserio audio in just a second. You ever have happen to you, Seth, what just happened to me, where I'm going through my email? I'm just kind of, you know, I've got like 60 unread emails in there that have been in there for a little bit. You know, a lot of them are like, 55 of them are just companies that I've bought stuff from, or they're spam or whatever. But I was going through and I'm like, oh, here's one where I bought something for $50.94 last night. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. I bought an ugly Christmas sweater that says "Acknowledge Me" on the front of it.
Oh, that's a good buy.
Yeah, it's almost like I got a present from myself. I'm like, oh, this is under the tree. Who brought this to me? That's right, me. Last night when I got home from hanging out with Ross Tucker.
What does the whole "Acknowledge Me" thing come from?
Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns, yeah. That's right, yeah. That's the tribal chief, Roman Reigns.
That's his catchphrase.
Yes. Yeah, okay. "Acknowledge Me." Yeah.
I guess I should have asked that sometime in the last 2 years.
we've been doing that segment.
Yeah. I vaguely knew it was Roman Reigns or something. Yeah.
You can count on me wearing that sweater, assuming it shows up sometime in the next month and a half. Because, you know, it was one of these things. I was probably on Instagram last night going through, and I'm like, ooh, it's amazing, like, with T-shirts and ugly Christmas sweaters and things like that. Because you asked me, like, oh, what was the name of the company? And I'm like, I don't know. I just looked like a cool sweater, and I bought it.
I haven't had a drink in months, I think, or, like, more than one or two drinks. So, anyway, the other morning I woke up. And I was glad that I've been living a clean life, because I looked at my statement and I'm like, was I drunk and I paid some energy company that I don't have an account with $495? Because what the hell is this? So there was fraud on my account, but I knew that I hadn't drunk shopped for energy. You know, it wasn't like, oh, like I woke up and I was like, oh, I ordered an energy account while I was drunk or anything.
Yeah, you got drunk.
Who the hell pays their energy bill with my stolen credit card?
No kidding.
God, I hope they find the person. I hope the person I hope the person who did it was dumb enough to pay off their own actual energy bill, which was obviously past due, unless whoever stole my account is living in a huge, in a really big house.
Did you?
Like, are they going to just, were they dumb enough to pay their energy bill with my stolen credit card?
Probably.
Their own energy.
Yeah.
It might have been like, okay, somebody, I don't know, got scammed and I don't know.
Did your bank square you away? You.
They did, yeah. You know what happened though? It was out of my debit card. I think it takes a little bit longer, I've learned. Usually you call your credit card company and there's fraud and they're like, yep, screw them. People suck. Yeah, here you go.
They're the worst. Here's your money. Yeah.
Yeah, when it was actual money that was missing instead of a promissory note, they were a little bit different.
Dude, access to the old debit card. I mean, they can empty things out quick. That's actual, like, real
it's
money.
It's scary on the debit card. Yeah, that's it. It can go south super fast.
Yep.
And you'll get it back, but it's, yeah.
Yeah, that's your actual cash. Yeah.
Well, cash. Not actual cash. This is what we're. It's all a simulation, kids.
We're all living in a sim. Nothing's real. That's true. Here's Nick Caserio. Yesterday, here's his scouting report on the Texans' opponent this weekend, the Tennessee Titans.
They're a good football team. Their record is what their record is. But honestly, when the ball is kicked off, the records go out the window. It's all about your execution. They have one of the best defenses in the league, top five in just about every category. I mean, Jeffrey Simmons is a pain in the ass. Like, he's one of the best players in the league. Period. So he presents a lot of problems. Sweat's done a good job for them as well, kind of in his role. They got a good front. They really make you earn it offensively because of how they play defensively. And then offensively, I'd say Ridley's an issue. And honestly, the 1-2 punch of Spears and Tony Pollard. Pollard's a really good back. He's been very productive. He does a number of good things. And I would say just when you look at some of the better teams in the league and what's kind of the margins, so turnover margin, you know, when you look at the top five, you know, those teams and more, you know, amongst those teams are in the top, I don't know, six or seven, but we can do a better job of taking care of the football. And then it's going to come down to third down and red area execution.
Yeah, so some of the things that the Texans built on last week versus a bad Cowboys team, you hope you can keep building on it with the offensive line because, look, the Cowboys are a bad team throughout, but they had actual threats as defensive linemen and as pass rushers, and I thought for the most part, other than a couple glitches, the Texans did a pretty good job with the mental side of things, with getting their assignments right. You just amp up the difficulty level that much higher versus this Titans defense because of the kind of like in the Lions game. You looked at those Lions defensive linemen and you're like, well, those guys are just physically more imposing than the Texans offensive line. There's a lot of that right now with the Titans. Like, do you look at this this matchup on Sunday and think, oh, those defensive linemen for the Titans look like men and the Texans offensive linemen look like teenagers?
Right.
They got to be physically tougher than they were a couple weeks ago.
No question. Okay, so here was Nick Caserio. You asked him towards the end of the conversation about Bobby Slowik and how the offense has been doing.
What have they built on? I was actually kind of given it. I wanted it to be an opportunity to kind of point out like where some of the progress is. As I'm trying to be objective about it, you know. So I just asked, where are the spots where they have improved as the season's gone along?
Yeah.
Look, any coach, the give a crap factor is always very high. I'd say Bobby cares a lot. He cares a lot about the offense. He cares a lot about how we play. And honestly, sometimes Bobby's a little bit too hard on himself. I mean, Bobby's office is right across the hall from me. Like, nobody works harder than Bobby Slowik. So has a good understanding of what we're trying to do offensively, what the other team is trying to do on the defensive side of the ball. So all of us can look at ourselves individually, look at ourselves in the mirror, and there's always things that we can do better. Look, there's 1,000 things that I can do better. I'm sure if you ask my wife, she'll come up with a 2,000, page list, whatever it is. So I think all of us are accountable. We're going to take ownership. And when things aren't going maybe as well as you would have hoped, that's all you can do is put your head down and work, try to make some improvements, try to make some adjustments, modifications, and just put the team in the best position for success. So nobody cares more about what we're doing with this football team, especially offensively, and Bobby, and you see that on a day-to-day basis. And he's a great coach and we're lucky to have him.
I don't think you and I, when we have Nick on, I don't think you and I shy away from asking him about tough topics. You know, we've been doing our conversations with Nick since things were really bad with this football team. So he's no stranger to getting at. I think it sounded like he was expecting at some point like a pretty negative Slowik question because Bobby's been such a lightning rod. And I think maybe he heard the name Slowik and he's like, all right, here's where I got to go into defense mode for my guy.
Yeah, I was just kind of confused. And it's tough with Nick sometimes when we're on the phone. If you ask a follow-up, then it ends up being another. I didn't ask whether he cared or not. Right. Like, I never, like, there's no, I mean, if I, let me tell you, if I'm ever in a situation where I have to ask whether a coordinator actually cares about doing his job well, it's not going to be asked in the tone of voice that I asked that. Right. It would be like, that's the last thing on earth you ever ask about an NFL coach. That's just a given. So I do think, because I do think that they have made some progress, and I think Bobby's made some progress in some places. The addition of Nico Collins back into the mix, hopefully you can kind of see exactly where they're at versus this Titans defense. I still got a lot of questions. But some of the things that they've had to do to adjust and adapt to how bad their interior offensive line has been, I think they're starting to get a better feel for what they can and can't do, when they need to take risks with the protection. And Bobby last week, I think he did a good job of kind of diagnosing as the first half went along what they couldn't do.
Yep.
What they, you know, he was willing to open it up and spread it out a little bit more in the second half, and it because guys showed that they could pass protect. So I'm going to give him credit on that. It was versus the Cowboys. This week versus this defense, it's a much bigger test.
My only quibble with Bobby in the Dallas game was the third and inches call where he had CJ drop. Well, where CJ dropped back to throw. I don't know if CJ may have checked into a play. I don't know. I did, but he's the offensive coordinator, so the operation is on him, and I just thought that was an unless you were going to go for it on fourth and inches, throwing it on third and inches made no sense. Throwing what for CJ right now is a little lower percentage pass than it's been.
What position? What spot on the field were they?
They were on their own side of the 50. So it's not
they've gone for it in that moment.
It's not a spot. Well, they didn't go for it on fourth and inches.
Right. I'm thinking even if it was in the thinking, but yeah.
So but that's the only way to me that passing on third and inches makes sense, is if you're going to go for it on fourth down. But anyways, the one thing about Slowik, we got a couple more Casario cuts here, and then we'll do the circle of swarm in about 10 minutes. It's going to be a tough circle of swarm this week, man, based on how they played against the Cowboys. Yeah. But for you, I know the thing that you had been saying throughout the offseason and coming into this season is that until Bobby Slowik is able to construct a genuinely good running game, then it's hard to view him as an elite head coaching prospect and a great offensive coordinator when they couldn't really run the football consistently. How close are they to a genuine running game, or is this really just Joe Mixon with a cape on every
It's a whole lot of Joe Mixon still. I do think, again, that first Joe Mixon touchdown was very well blocked on every level of the offense. The offensive line, the tight ends, the wide receivers, Tank Dell had a key block downfield on that. So I think they've made progress. But versus the Lions 2 weeks ago, it didn't look good at all. Then it looks good versus the Cowboys, who are a much lesser defense than the Lions. So I do think they still did things versus the Cowboys that they hadn't done earlier in the season. This is their third week now with this new lineup of offensive linemen, and this would be where, this is really where the rubber meets the road for Juice Scruggs, I think. Like, this might be a do or die moment for him. This might be his last opportunity to start if he doesn't have a respectable performance versus these guys.
It's a good lead in. That's a good lead into this next cut from Casario, because you asked him about the play of the interior of the offensive line, and it sounds like he's still very much open to, if need be, you know, if they got to make changes, they got to make changes.
Since Kenya won an IR, we kind of made the move. Juice popped over there to left guard, and then JP has been at center. And I think with all, you know, those inside players, they have some level of versatility and flexibility. We're fortunate that, you know, we think we have pretty good centers, both JP and Juice. Juice did a good job there for the first however many games at center. And JP kind of has always been in a bullpen. Whenever he's been called upon, he's gone out there and played pretty competitive football. Even going back to last year, he played the first however many games at the beginning of the season last year, because Q was injured and then JP was hurt. You know, some we had to move some things around. Juice was out. But I'd say overall, I mean, those guys have done a good job. I think collectively as a group, you know, we've had our moments where we played some good football. You try to get some things fixed. You know, each week we'll figure out what makes the most sense. But I mean, this combination right now, you know, we feel good about it. And at this point, this is the group that, you know, we have, you know, including Shaq. Shaq is, I mean, basically been there since day one. So, you know, overall, we're making progress. There's always things that we can improve, always things that, you know, we can make better. But the big thing is just try to establish some level of consistency with the group inside, and, you know, hopefully we're headed in the right direction.
Yeah.
So there you go.
So the biggest thing, if you think about Joe Mixon, where he's been really, he consistently turns out 100-yard performances. But the two games where they weren't getting big production out of him, they completely shut him down. And that's where I don't blame Joe Mixon, but the Lions game, he averaged 1.8 yards per attempt. The Chicago game, he averaged 2.8 yards per attempt. And yes, a couple of those were after he had come back injured, but it wasn't looking good before that either. So no. Those are two at the time the Bears defense was really humming, and those are two good defenses that they really struggled against. And it wasn't just, oh, he wasn't as good as he usually is. They just completely shut him down. Last week, even Mixon led the league in rush yards over expected yards. So he was creating a lot of that on his own.
Yeah, he's done that a lot this year. 5 Hour Energy fan line, 5 Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football superfans. We'll hear from Casario on Mixon in a second. But as long as we're talking about the interior of the offensive line, text message to the 5 Hour Energy fan line. I really wish I understood why they put Juice at left guard and Patterson at center.
I get the biggest explanation that most makes the most sense is I think that they just trust Patterson more with the calls, with a lot of the, I'd say, mental stuff. It's not like an IQ test or anything. It's just some guys adapt to it and can do it better as young players quicker. And I think Patterson probably is better in that regard. It does. Our one listener who was adamantly offended that Patterson wasn't getting more of a chance at center to actually compete for a job. I will concede I will concede defeat. Do I concede victory or defeat? I can say I give him that one. Patterson should have gotten more of a chance during training camp.
Yeah.
If they trust Patterson with the mental side of things more, and they couldn't figure out during training camp that Scruggs was going to struggle with it, and he did early on. You know, I didn't like that Laremy Tunsil sold Juice Scruggs out and basically said it was his fault for the false starts. But I mean, it was a factor. So that's on the Texans, that's on the coaches, that's on, you know, just the way they've handled that throughout the entire offseason, where it seemed like a foregone conclusion that Juice Scruggs was going to be the starting center.
Yeah, and then he gets moved. Then when Kenyon gets hurt, he's the one that gets moved over to left guard. You're right, it's an odd sequence, no doubt. We asked Nick Casario yesterday, if you go look at the workload for Joe Mixon, I mean, we're talking about games now where there is no balance in the backfield. It is all Joe Mixon and a couple guys getting a carry. Like, that's literally what the last game was. It was Joe Mixon, 25 carries or 20 carries, and then Damian Pierce and Dario Gumbawale each getting maybe a carry or two. Is the workload for Joe Mixon sustainable the rest of the season?
Joe's been, I mean, knock on wood, for the most part, he's been a very, I know he missed a few games here during the year, a very durable and productive player. So we'll do what we think is best. I mean, we've had opportunities. We've had to use some different backs. You know, we had to use Cam there a little bit when he was on a team and gave us some plays. DP's given us some plays. JJ Taylor's given us some plays when he's had to go on a field. So we'll just figure out. Dare as well has made some critical plays. So we'll use everybody, but Joe's one of our best players. So anytime we can get the ball in his hands is usually a lot of positives that come with that. So, but love everything about Joe Mixon, love everything that he's brought to the football team, have a tremendous amount of respect and admiration for him, having played against him and now being on the same side as him. I mean, it's been really impressive.
You know, the Mixon thing, I've heard from a lot of the film watching types and what have you, just how impressed they've been by Joe Mixon, where they, in their minds, kind of slotted him as just obviously on the tail end of his career, and he started to show this and that. He's very, very good this year, and with a better offensive line in front of him, I think he, in health, obviously, he could have been maybe having one of the better seasons in the NFL.
He's still a lot of regards in terms
of production. He is having one of the better years in the NFL. As the season wears on, it's just a huge roll of the dice. Yeah, every team in the league would love to have a 1-2 punch at running back right now, and I think you can tell by the way the snaps have been doled out, even when Damian Pierce is healthy, that no, they don't feel like they have a 1-2 punch. This is certainly not like the Lions,
No, I and Nick brought up Cam Akers' name in that answer right there. Like, that's one for me. Like, I wish they hadn't traded Cam Akers. I mean, Nick traded Cam Akers for nothing. It was like a day 3 pick swap 2 years from now or something like that. So I thought when Cam Akers got opportunities, the fumble against the Bears as they were going in for a touchdown, notwithstanding, I certainly think that the opportunities when Akers got on the field, he's looked better than Damian Pierce has, aside from the big long touchdown run against New England. Like, he just looks, he looked and looks up in Minnesota more comfortable in this system. So mm-hmm. I would have liked them to have kept Cam Akers. It always felt like the trust factor with Cam Akers for the brief time he was here was way higher with me, the fans, media, people observing the game than it was with the team itself. He was inactive at times.
Yeah, I know. We were almost – I'm glad you brought that up because it did feel like I almost wanted to – I was trying to, give Nick an attaboy on getting something out of Cam Akers or taking a chance at it. And, you got the sense from Nick and others that we'll see. They weren't necessarily gushing praise on him the same way they do some of the other guys. You got that feel about him that maybe they just didn't feel the same way.
I definitely think it felt like their trust in Cam Akers was way less than the perception than what I was observing. Like, he looked like somebody that should have been trusted more than he was. That's
all. There's another guy to monitor who's been in that same boat. And this is interesting. Dez King. So Dez King, who's had a couple stays with the Texans now, three really, hasn't it been three?
At least three times
that he's been signed. And they let him go a couple weeks ago again. And last year, the Steelers picked up Dez King.
Yeah.
And I always felt like, yeah, man, he feels like a Steeler. And then this time, the Ravens pick up Dez King.
Yeah.
And this happens a lot. A lot of guys that feel like Ravens or Steelers, they feel like that type of player. Like, yeah, he feels kind of like a Ravens type of player. And I don't know. The Steelers tried it. Now the Ravens are trying it. He's such an intriguing nut to figure out.
Because
I think there's parts of his play on the field when he's good that he'd be the best slot corner right now.
Oh, yeah.
When you need somebody to cover man.
Yes.
And yet he's just always had these curious little moments like a team imposed suspension or benched this week or left home. So they just don't trust him.
No, they don't. It's weird. It'll be interesting when the Ravens cut him in 3 weeks and he comes back to the Texans again. I'm looking forward to that.
The Ravens is the one that it really feels like, going back to Jacoby Jones, I think. Like, okay, are the Ravens going to actually get the absolute most out of this guy?
It's
going to drive me crazy if they do.
They might tap
if they're on a Super Bowl run and Dez King is out there making interceptions.
The Texans play them on Christmas Day. That'll be where the rubber meets the road. Like, if Dez King is out there Kareem Jackson style in 2019. Remember when Kareem Jackson went to the Broncos in the year, like that year, that next year is when the Texans, they played the Broncos in like week 14 and Kareem was player of the week in the AFC. Like, if Dez King does that, then it's over. I give up. I'm not watching football anymore.
I wonder if they've had any conversations with Steven Nelson. I'm going to reach out to Steven Nelson and see what the deal is. Because you can't trade for anybody right now, but there's guys, Xavier Howard's out there. Yeah, Xavier Howard hasn't been the same guy the last couple of years, but he's damn sure better than Jeff Okuda, I bet.
You got contact. So,
there's guys out there.
You got contact info for Steven Nelson? You got him on the
screen
dial? Oh, nice. Okay. I didn't know that. Payne and Pendergast with you. You want to do a circle?
No, not on the speed dial, just DM.
I got you. Okay. Yeah. You want to do a circle of swarm?
Yes.
I don't.
I dread it because it's the hardest decision I make all week. But yeah.
Hardest decision this side of the circle of trust for the Astros. Yeah. Let's do it.
You know, D'Amico always says swarm.
What we're looking for is players, right, who are looking to swarm.
The swarm mindset, that whole mentality.
Right, we want players to have a special work ethic and a relentless mindset in everything that they do.
Who's in?
This is a special group of men. Believe it.
It's the Payne and Pendergast Texans Circle of Swarm.
It is the entirely subjective, through the eyes of me and Seth, Circle of Swarm. We do it every Friday at this time. It is largely a nod to past performance with a skewing towards most recent performance, the Cowboys game, with a bit of a look ahead to guys we are hoping swarm this weekend against the Tennessee Titans. Again, it's subjective. Me and Seth, we each pick three. There can be no more than six in the circle.
A lot of you are
going to
be angry. Yep. Just brace yourself right now because there's always, this week especially, because there was a pretty swarm-like performance out of a lot of guys last week. You guys are going to be angry. So just brace yourself. And then lash out.
Yes, out on the 5-Hour Energy fan line, 713-572-46. And people are already weighing in. I'm not going to read the texts till afterwards because I don't want to skew the view on this whole thing. But Seth, the honor is yours, Your Honor. You go first.
Okay. Well, I can't. The swarmiest performance was Jalen Petrie. Okay. I mean, look, anytime you make a beautifully clean legal hit and get flagged for it because the officials watching think, oh, surely that wasn't legal. You can't do that. Not in this country, my friend. So, Jalen Petrie, good job. He's a kidney snatcher.
Jalen Petrie's been showing up, man. He had the big interception right before the half against the Colts a few weeks ago. He had the big deflection for the Jimmy Ward interception at the beginning of the Lions game in Week 10. And then in this game against the Cowboys, man, he was swarmy as hell. I thought a bad penalty call on the big hit over the middle. Yeah. And then, of course, he had the forced fumble on the play that really clinched the game for the Texans.
Yeah, and that was the most fun. That's so much fun to watch on Rewind just because he comes out of nowhere.
Yeah.
That offensive lineman, his whole world changed so quickly from he sniffed glory to like he was brought back down to earth immediately on that because Jalen Petrie hit him so hard.
Yeah.
That was beautiful.
Well,
that's
when you know you made a big play is when after the game, the head coach is literally saying things like, yeah, Guyton shouldn't be doing that. He's going to learn from this and never, ever do that again.
Bill McCarthy saying that.
McCarthy saying it about Guyton, the tackle, trying to run with the football. And Jalen Petrie made him pay for it. It was cool.
Good job, Jalen Petrie.
Good job, Jalen Petrie.
Also, in that game, too, very swarm-like. Early in the game, remember, he missed that tackle on CeeDee Lamb?
Yes.
He took a poor angle on it. And then later in the game, in almost the exact same situation, took the right angle, adjusted. Like, he's really worked on his tackling. It's just cool to watch him come into his own. It's been fun to watch.
It's been great because he's a great dude. And Nick Caserio, we'll hear from Caserio on Petrie at the top of the hour. Like, the way he gushes about kind of what Petrie means, his energy means inside the building was really cool to hear yesterday. All right, my first pick, I think equally an easy one coming off of that Cowboy game, and I would say really coming off of the entire season, but of late, just Derek Stingley Jr. has been awesome. I thought he was the best player on the field on Monday night. Had an interception, probably could have had two more. I thought his best play, I thought it at the time, I thought it after the game, and I've seen a lot of people, even Nick said this on Texans All Access, that the best play that Stingley made, or maybe the play that showed off just why he's built different, was the tackle he made on that CeeDee Lamb crosser early in the second half on third down. It was a third down play where Stingley was manned up on CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb got a little bit of separation on a crossing route, and Stingley was able to close and tackle. If he didn't make that tackle, you're talking about the chains moving. You're talking about a big chunk play in a game that's 17-10 at the time. Cowboys get a little something going and maybe go down and score, and it's a different game. Instead, the Texans get off the field, and the Cowboys go three and out. So Stingley's an easy choice for me on this one.
Sam Warren from the Chronicle did a nice breakdown of Stingley's game.
Yeah.
One of the stats that jumped out, it was very impressive. Over the course of the last four games, Stingley has allowed 5 catches for 41 yards on 20 targets.
He's been awesome, man.
With 6 passes defensed and an interception in that time. So it's been a really good month for Derek Stingley.
On national TV, by the way. You know, when the honors roll around at the end of the year, these two games on national TV for Stingley.
And Sauce Gardner is widely being held up as one of the faces of the Jets falling apart. That Sauce Gardner isn't playing as well. He's making business decisions all over the field. Yeah, it's nice. It's nice.
Stingley's going to make a Pro Bowl this year, I think, man. I think he is if he stays healthy. Your turn.
Oh, it's my turn
already?
Your
turn. Yeah, it's your turn already.
Okay, so you...
it's Petrie and Stingley.
Yeah. I went with Petrie.
Yep.
We're staying defense heavy here because I have to go with Danielle Hunter.
Yep, that's
so,
next on my
Danielle
list.
Hunter, who has been leading the league in pressures based on NFL Next Gen stats. Which is cool. I don't trust that stat service that much. The one that I really like, ESPN pass rush win rate on edge players. He's second right now, but he's first if you exclude people who currently don't have a tibia or a fibia. Because Aiden Hutchinson is first in the league, followed by Danielle Hunter.
Right.
So Danielle Hunter is the leaders amongst everybody whose tib fibs are
functional
intact.
Tib fibs. Yeah. Yes, yeah. No, Hunter was. He was great. He was really good in the second half of that game. It was funny. Once the Cowboys lost a couple of offensive linemen, like the defensive line just started eating. It was crazy.
And the big thing is this offensive line for the Titans, the Latham, the rookie left tackle, has been playing well. The right tackle has just been a sieve, and they've been rotating guys through there. I couldn't tell you exactly who's going to start and finish at right tackle. I think Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson, if he plays, are really going to go off on these guys.
Yep. All right, so we got Petrie, Stingley and Danielle Hunter so far. There can only be six. My second choice, I'm going to make sure we get this one in on the offensive side of the ball, but once again, Joe Mixon needs to be in the circle of swarm. Big touchdown to start that game. Another 100-yard game. Had 44 yards receiving. That big screen that he caught along the sideline there was another big chunk play to get the Texans in position to score some points. He was named captain recently of this team. So he's been swarmy in the locker room. He's been swarmy on the field. He's swarmy on the bench. He's somebody, too, Seth, that if a play is blocked for an average person to go get 4 yards, Mixon gets seven. You know what I mean? Like, Mixon gets extra yards by destroying human beings. That's the definition of swarm. So I'm putting I'm putting Mixon in again this week.
Yeah, his ability to stay at top speed while he's making cuts on, especially on cutbacks, on the cutback lanes, on zone runs and everything. It's just fun to watch. He is. He's his vision and his explosiveness and how it all ties together. It's really cool. It's really cool to see him kind of in so many ways with Nico Collins out. He was really the only thing keeping the offense alive, is just him making extra plays beyond what's expected.
How do you think they're feeling in Cincinnati when they watch Joe Mixon on TV?
I don't know. I'm guessing that they're like, we got other issues other than this.
Yeah, that's true. And scoring has not been one of them. Their offense is very good. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, is Joe Mixon really going to change what all of our issues are going to be? I think they probably mostly understand why, because of the salary cap and everything, that they had to make that decision, perhaps.
Yeah.
And also, as we said in the offseason, the way they were using him in that offense, it didn't suit his skill set the way the Texans do.
Yeah, a lot of gun.
It's not so simple that, he would have been playing just like this in Cincinnati.
All right, your last pick, my friend.
Oh.
For the Circle of Swarm.
Okay, so this is a dicey one. I want to choose between Nico Collins and John Mechie.
Mm-hmm.
And because there's a whole lot wrapped up in all of this.
Mm.
Nico only played half the snaps.
Right.
He was robbed of a touchdown by his own teammate.
Yep.
But I think John Mechie, just by arc and trajectory and his entire backstory, and the fact that Troy Aikman tried to make it look like John Mechie wasn't trying hard enough when he missed the block early
in
the
like
game.
That. I didn't
bogus.
Like that at all.
Bogus, yeah. Bogus, bro. Yes. Bogus. Because John Mechie would have a couple really nice blocks in that game, as we've come to expect. So, John Mechie. I'm going with John Mechie.
I'm glad you picked Mechie. He was on my list. Nico was not, only because of what you said. He only played half the snaps. He was good. Having Nico back out there was awesome. I think we put Nico in last week, if I'm not mistaken, just because he was going to be coming back.
Yeah.
I think we did the first ever, hoping this guy comes back healthy Circle of Swarm selection with Nico Collins. I had Mechie on my list, and I think the tiebreaker for me with Mechie and, say, Nico, Mechie actually swarmed on that fake punt. He made a tackle in the game.
Right.
Mechie
did. That's right.
He
swarmed.
Good
swarmage there.
Near
the scouting report and everything.
Yeah. But he
showed D'Amico had showed a big a reel of John Mechie, a lot of the big hits he made in college.
It was one in particular. Have you never seen this hit?
I had seen it. It
was in a Florida Alabama game, and it was after a turnover.
Yeah.
And I mean, Mechie destroyed this guy. It was crazy.
No, when Mechie got drafted, that one made the rounds again, too. That's had a few phases of going viral.
Has it? Yeah. Okay, yeah. I'd not seen it before until this recent stretch. Someone's texting in, and I'll make my pick here in a second. 5-Hour Energy fan line, the special teams play on the fake punt. Yes, that's... Oh, I thought they were saying give the whole special teams a swarm nomination because of how they handled the fake punt. We got Mechie in there on that fake punt. And
there's no room for unit awards on here.
No, I misread the text. That's on me.
Especially the special teams had weird penalties in that game, just like every other penalty that was called in that game.
Yes.
They were weird.
Yeah. All right, so now comes the last pick, and it's got to be on the defensive side of the ball. I can't think of any other worthy offensive players in that game. So it comes down to me, Seth, either going with a staple when healthy for the Circle of Swarm, Azeez Alshire, or Tim Settle, who has been, I think, a real revelation this year as a pickup. And in this game, he ruined a future Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Zach Martin, who shortly after a Tim Settle swim move for a sack, like a vicious sack on Cooper Rush, Zach Martin went out of the game after that. Like, he left injured and he never came back. So I'm going to go with Tim Settle. We got to represent the interior of this offensive lineup.
And with all due respect to Zach Martin, who's just had an incredible career and what have you.
Washed.
Staying for one more play.
Yeah.
That's a... You're trying to take the shine away from Tim Settle.
Yeah.
You're like, but I was injured. Yeah. He's earned the right not to, for me not to be skeptical of it. But whenever an offensive lineman comes up limping after he gets destroyed, there's a tendency in all of them. There's a part of them that wants to be able to blame it on the injury. So I won't say that that's what Zach Martin was doing. But give Tim Settle his props by staying in for one more game, one more play at least.
Settle's made the circle a few times this season. He's had some... I think he's got 5 sacks on the season right now from the interior.
No, and he's honestly, I saw him during camp. Here's another one that I was kind of, I talked to a couple people about in the Texans, and I kind of sensed like, because I saw him the first couple weeks of camp, and I was like, gosh, he looks really good. I didn't expect him to be as athletic as this. And it felt like they were very much just, in wait-and-see mode on him. And it's worked out.
Text message 5.
I thought they were maybe trying to not tip their cap that they liked him as much as they did, in case I started blabbing off about, maybe they wanted to try to hide him on the practice squad or something.
Yep. There's people weighing in on the 5-Hour Energy fan line saying Azeez Alshire should be in there. There can only be 6. We warned you guys that this was going to be...
Yeah, you're going to be mad.
Someone's saying Henry Toa Toa. No, not in this game. Toa Toa might have gotten kind of semi-benched in this game. Devin White got more snaps.
They played Devin White more, and it might have been as the Cowboys were going more into pass mode, too. They just wanted Devin White's athleticism out there. So, yeah, it's... And D'Amico is very short. When asked about that during the press conference, basically said, "Yeah, we're just what do you say? We're just moving guys around, shuffling guys out,
I may have screwed up. I don't have any problem with Tim Settle. Well, we didn't put Derek Barnett in, and he did score that touchdown.
Oh, this is one of the worst things you've ever done.
Do I need to go back, or am I allowed, or is it in ink now?
No, we can't take it away from Tim.
Well, hold on. And I know that this sequence. Okay, I'm going to defend myself on this.
Okay,
I know that this sequence wound up actually benefiting the Texans.
Yeah.
But the head slap on the field goal that let the Cowboys keep the ball was somewhat inexcusable.
All right. So let's go back and we'll justify it with yes.
I will rationalize my clear omission
This is how most human decisions are made, Sean. We're not even actually thinking about them. You kind of make your decision and then you backfill it in with reasons why you acted that way.
Right.
You know, like, of course. That's what I was thinking at the time. So just go ahead.
The Barnett texts are rolling. Now, what about Barnett with like question marks and exclamation points, but like 7 of them afterwards? I've been the last 2 weeks? Because last week I had the last pick and I put Kamari Lassiter in, who didn't even play in the next game. You know who I am in the circle of swarm, Seth? I'm the guy who's sitting at third base at the blackjack table, who's completely botching taking the last card and screwing it up for the rest of the table. That's who I am.
I can only hope that just D'Amico Autry uses that as fuel, especially now that he's facing his team, the team that let him go after last year. Wow. A lot of Titans fans were upset about D'Amico Autry leaving in free agency.
Yeah, I mean, some Autry texts are coming in, too. Autry was balling out also. Got to put Barnett in, Stingley is so good, he's invisible. It's true. You don't see a lot of him because they don't throw at him. Strip sack with a scoop and score? Come on, guys. Don't drag Seth into it. That's me.
That was the swarmiest play. That's the swarmiest play made.
Boy, and terrible.
We already brought that play up with Jalen Petrie. You know,
yeah.
And also Derek Barnett. There were so many things good on that play because he had the strip sack.
Yeah,
but then he had the fumble recovery, which is great because you're still hustling.
Head slap.
But then the athleticism he showed on that run. I mean, I would have preferred better ball security. Wish he would have tucked the ball away. I mean, he actually, not only was he holding it one-handed, he was holding it in the hand that was on the field side. Like, it was a very, very, very careless. But he also, that gave him the opportunity to kind of hold the ball over the plane as he crossed into the corner.
It did. No, it was a good play. I know we got to get to the injury report here for Mokhtaram, but... And I know this may turn you into a basket case if we do it this way, Seth, but maybe next week I should go first, and you should have the last pick. I think.
Yeah, let's do that. I can take the heat.
Yeah, you'll handle that responsibility. I can take the heat. I've not been very good at doing the pick the last couple of weeks. That's all. I'm I'm more worried about people not getting their just due because I've been so bad at making the final selection. Not so bad. I mean, Settle deserves it. Like, Settle's not a bad pick.
Right, to be in there.
But Barnett not being in there is.
Did you have him? Did you not even have Barnett on your rankings?
I didn't, but I was doing my rankings kind of as you and I were talking, and I always think through, but I don't think to the next layer of the depth chart.
Yeah, but I do this. You could blame me too because I think I was kind of anticipating that you would take Derek Barnett. So yeah,
blame me because I was anticipating, and then Sean screwed up in the end and didn't take him.
Well, no, you know, you could blame me too though because honestly. Based on actual performance and impact and everything, Barnett should be in above Mechie too. You know,
yeah, maybe,
so like we're both at fault.
Okay,
there. This is one of our worst. The
group effort. I know it was the hardest.
I mean,
one.
Circle of Swarms. Yeah.
Circle of Swarm, and we didn't handle it well. We'll do better next time, next Friday. And we are.
I'd like to have back my other mulligan too. Is the question I asked about Dion. To Nick Caserio yesterday.
Oh yeah.
As soon as I started in and on it, I was like, I shouldn't even. It popped into my head, and I'm like, oh, this is a waste. Ah, dang it.
Let's get to coming up next. JJ Watt. JJ Watt has beef with somebody from ESPN, and we'll get into that. Maybe even it's like a mini petty cast coming up in the next segment. We'll do that next. But first, Seth has the injury report.
Coming up, the injury report from Mokarum Injury Lawyers. Yesterday did not participate. Denico Autry and Foley Fadakasi both, and Blake Fisher was still out with his concussion. Azeez Alshire, Will Anderson, and Derek Stingley were all out there and limited. We don't know exactly what's going to happen with Will Anderson, but I'm optimistic those other two guys will definitely play. And then Kamari Lasser, again, full participation as he comes out of the concussion protocol. That is your injury report brought to you by Mokarum Injury Lawyer.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy, shipped nationwide.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's Payne and Pendergast.
All right, here was an interesting take from Dan Orlovsky. Text still rolling in on the Circle of Swarm we just got done. We'll get to that in just a second. 5 hour energy. 5 hour
somebody
energy
on,
fan line.
Somebody on YouTube said it's all, like we all it's almost like we don't watch the game. Were you even watching the game? Yeah. That one, Derek Barnett not making the Circle of Swarm. You didn't even have to watch the game to wonder why Derek Barnett's not in the Circle of Swarm.
Right.
You could have easily watched the highlights, and the first one up is the Derek Barnett caused fumble. Fumble recovery.
Yeah, man.
Touchdown.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can do all three of those things in one game, yes, on one play and not make the Circle of Swarm.
That's it, man.
Right.
Sorry.
How hard it is to make the Circle of Swarm.
Especially in a game like that where there were a lot of swarmy people out there. All right, so
Sean's fault, remember, but these things happen.
They happen.
Totally could have happened to me, but it's Sean's fault.
I love the passion. 5 hour energy fan line. Keep texting in. So this was an interesting take by Dan Orlovsky yesterday. They were talking about the Steelers. Of course, Steelers played last night. They lost to the Browns in a snowstorm last night. Very entertaining game. But there was a lot of chatter about the Steelers, and has been since they've gotten off to this great start. And since Russell Wilson has been undefeated till last night as a starting quarterback for the Steelers, they've been on a nice run. Are they a top three team in the AFC? Are they a real Super Bowl contender? Dan Orlovsky's reason why they may not be a real Super Bowl contender was very interesting. Take a listen.
My job is to figure out the whys of things that won't happen. The Steelers are a very good football team. If they don't get to the AFC title game, or what might not make them a legit Super Bowl contender is, you are not going to beat Lamar. You're not going to beat Josh Allen. You're not going to beat Patrick Mahomes kicking field goals.
Okay, they just did. On Sunday, they just beat the Ravens. They beat the Ravens kicking 6 field goals.
Right. You beat that team kicking field goals.
Literally,
yeah,
what you said cannot happen happened 5 days ago.
And the other thing, too, is is Orlovsky, does he even watch the game?
Yeah.
Obviously, he watches the game. He does.
Yeah.
But the Ravens in the playoffs are not always the same team.
Yeah.
They were versus the Texans, not for the first half, but for teams with legitimately good defenses, it's not as simple as, especially Sean, it's hilarious too, because not in the playoffs, in the snow or bad conditions or what have you. That's exactly what happens in the playoffs. You can get the Bills last year. Could have beat the Chiefs with kicking a field goal.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. So
they tied him, I guess, kept the game going.
Right. So JJ Watt pointed this out, where Orlovsky says you're not going to beat Lamar, Josh Allen, or Patrick Mahomes kicking field goals just days after the Steelers literally didn't score a touchdown and beat the Ravens 18-16. JJ Watt, who, if you're wondering, why is he in such a defense mode about the Steelers? His brother plays for the Steelers. I feel like JJ views the Steelers almost as a second team of his. He really likes Tomlin a lot.
Yeah.
His brother
probably gets
for
all kind of love from Steelers fans.
Yeah, I'm guessing he
was never like a serious thorn in their side specifically.
Yep, no doubt. JJ says this about Orlovsky's comments. Take the teams and the names, etc. out of it. Good job, JJ. Way to make it a non-biased opinion. Quote, you're not going to beat Team A by kicking only field goals, end quote, is a wild take to make 4 days after literally beating Team A with only field goals. Here's the shot. Here's the shade, from JJ. That's like the sports media equivalent of a quarterback running out the back of their own end zone.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Damn, JJ.
Yeah. And that's not even, I would look at that, if JJ worked at ESPN, I would look at that as good-natured ribbing, but JJ's a CBS guy, man. Orlovsky's an ESPN guy.
That's inter-network.
That's not even little locker room ribbing of a teammate, you know what I mean? That's shots fired right there.
Yeah, and is he think he was a little bit extra peeved about the TJ Watt slight there? You don't think my brother can beat a team like that?
Right. Yeah. No, JJ gets into
Especially, it's one of those sayings. It's like, it's like over time, it's true. And yeah, like you can't consistently do it, this, that, the other thing. But yeah, it's not like it's impossible or you can't do it. And the teams haven't made runs, you know, the Patriots Super Bowl versus the Rams. What was the final score of that game?
13-3.
Yeah, 13-3.
Yeah.
You know, like they scored one touchdown in
that
game.
Yep.
They said they won that game with one touchdown and a bunch of field goals.
Yeah.
So it was, yeah, there's certainly when you, as long as the defense is good enough, the Steelers are interesting, man, because it's like every week, like clockwork, it's an underthrown deep shot to George Pickens or whomever else. And you want to, you know, you want to not, your knee jerk is to not give Russell Wilson credit for it. But I think the fact of the matter is, because he's a veteran savvy quarterback, he knows when to take those shots.
Yeah.
You know,
yep.
He knows what he can and can't get away with. And they're getting it done. It's obviously not last night.
No.
But as far as just, yeah, what are they and who can they beat? I don't know what they're going to look like by the end.
They're going to be a playoff team. And I think a lot of people thought that they were the worst team in the AFC North coming into this season.
Yeah,
I know Cleveland stinks, and I know that Cincinnati has been underwhelming, but those teams were both viewed as better than the Steelers. Coming in, Mike Tomlin's just a beast. He absolutely is. Now, J.J. Watt defending the Steelers against the wrath of Dan Orlovsky yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
We've not yet heard from J.J. on this one, but this wasn't a shot at the Steelers. This was a shot from Myles Garrett at J.J.'s own flesh and blood, T.J. Watt. This was Myles Garrett, who had a monster game last night, about he is the number one big dog defensively in the NFL.
I mean, he spoke of the coin toss, but that's about it. You know? Like I said, I got a lot of respect for him, a lot of respect for, you know, all the guys over there, and you know, the edge rusher in the league, but I'm number one. And you know, that's from edge defender one, edge one to defensive player of the year. I'm the guy. So that runs through me. There's no other... No other person being defended as I am or schemed or planned against like I am. So this goes to show, you know, you can throw that out the window. I'm going to find a way.
Okay. I wish JJ was on McAfee today because you know McAfee would play that cut.
He would
play that cut and we would get a reaction from JJ about it.
It's just weird. It's a weird thing to hear from a position player, a defensive end, I can't remember examples of this where guys are kind of arguing about who should be ranked number one or something edge rushers. Yeah, I guess if you're into pro wrestling or
yes.
something like Sean, you definitely totally love it. I guess there's a part of me as a defensive lineman where I kind of feel like that kind of like, hey, wait a second, feller. That's not how we do things.
Some of them Deaver tendencies
Yeah, but at the same time, I'm trying to figure out, is that just me being a grumpy old man? I don't know. I'm trying to figure out what to make of it.
There could be a generational thing about it. I just know I like it.
Even if it's a generational thing, I can't really remember other edge rushers ever getting to this part of it, arguing about, you know, who's actually the number one edge rusher or anything like that, other than maybe playfully amongst guys.
I'm just trying to think of guys at that position who had that personality. Like, I'm thinking, like, back in the day, Mark Gastineau had to have gotten into an argument with somebody about this.
Yeah, totally. Know? Yeah, you could totally see Gastineau being
right.
It was a big deal. People didn't like that Gastineau would dance at. He invented
the
sack
long
dance.
Hair. Yeah, yeah.
And he was the worst sack dancer because he was barely dancing. And
horrible.
Any kind of dancing whatsoever by a defensive lineman. Yeah, I guess that's what it is. It's still, there's a little bit more of a blue collar mentality, for defensive linemen, even amongst the marquee guys. So it's just stepping out of character a little bit. It's weird.
Somebody's getting a second contract with the Texans after the season, I got a feeling, after talking to Nick Caserio yesterday. We'll let you guys be the judge. We'll talk about that next. Let's give away some Cougs tickets here. Last chance here to get to the Cougs and the Baylor Bears on Saturday night at TDCU Stadium. It's the blue out. We want you to wear blue. It's the Houston blue uniforms they're going to be wearing. I love that they're doing that with the Titans coming to town. Nice big bleh to the Titans right there. By wearing those unis. Good job, Cougs. 713-572-4610 if you want to win tickets. Caller number 5, 713-572-4610, and you're on your way. If you're caller number 5, you're on your way to the Cougs game. If you want to go see the game, call 713-GO-COUGS, 713-GO-COUGS to get tickets to the game. Up next, big second contract coming for somebody. That's my prediction. Stay there.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.